Hello, this is The Thing About Cars. This is Mickey Desai around the table. We have another full house today, a full quorum. Dawn, are you there?
I am here.
Ben, how about it?
Yep.
Becca, you there?
No. Not here.
Okay, not there. And Jessica's also not here. Jessica's not hiding out in the margins just listening to us as usual.
Not at all.
There she is. All right, so on our agenda today, we have a number of different things. I want to quickly run through a couple of Consumer Reports articles that I recently read. One of them is about car maintenance during the coronavirus pandemic. And I don't want to read the whole article, obviously, but it said some pretty commonsensical things about basic car care tasks that you should be able to take care of yourself, like checking care of your, you know, fluids and stuff like that. But if you have repairs or maintenance that cannot be postponed, they make suggestions like finding an oil change place that will allow you to stay in your car while someone else does the lube job. Or, you know, tires and dealerships can also operate in a very safe way as long as you're still practicing safe, you know, safe, what's the word I'm looking for?
Social distancing.
Yeah, social distancing practices, PPE implementation, stuff like that. And AAA has apparently told Consumer Reports that it will continue to provide roadside assistance to members across the country, and its service members have protocols in place to protect their safety and yours. But the big thing that I wanted to pull from this article for people in general was cars don't like to sit and idle. So in the past, we may have said something like it's a good idea to start up your car every once in a while. I don't think that's right. I think that Consumer Reports has it right. You have to get out your car and drive it every once in a while. And their advice is to drive the car at least once a week for 20 minutes or longer, just to make sure the battery is charged at a minimum.
And yes, and if you're coming up on your renewal for your car tag and you've got to get your emission, if you don't have 100 miles on your vehicle, they can't do the electrical recording to pass your car for emissions. I've had that happen to me twice.
Another good reason to drive for 20 miles or so, or 20 minutes or whatever, too, is, you know, short operations don't fully heat up the exhaust system and you don't blow all the moisture out of the pipes.
Exactly. Right. So I may go ahead and read these last two paragraphs here. It says drive the car at least once a week for 20 minutes or longer to ensure the battery is charged. If you park outside, this will also provide a chance to wear the rust off of brake discs and keep the calipers from seizing by actually using them. And it's a good excuse to shake off some cabin fever is what Consumer Reports says.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So here's the thing that I think a lot of people don't do and should do. And well, while you're in there, check for any food, snacks, beverages, or disinfectant wipes that were left behind and vacuum the carpet. These steps can reduce the risks of mildew and other unpleasant odors, or I can't read today, odors from developing. So I think that's good advice and good commonsensical stuff.
Or if you have a convertible, just leave the top down.
Just leave the top down.
And let the smells just go out the, you know, into your garage where you're supposed to be keeping your car.
Right.
There you go.
Yes.
So the second Consumer Reports thing I noticed was an article they had written on walnut blasting. Anyone want to talk about what walnut blasting is?
Avoiding the term in a nutshell. Basically just little particles of walnut shells being used as a blasting media as opposed to, say, like sand or something.
Right, but where do you use the stuff?
That's where I'm wondering.
Well, on something where you don't want something quite as aggressive as sand, like maybe cast aluminum parts or something like that.
Right. Right. So according to the Consumer Reports article, they're talking about the process of walnut blasting, specifically cleaning the intake manifold and valves of a car's engine, which is meant to help clean out carbon buildup on older GDI engines, gasoline direct injection engines, thus helping the car run better. So that's specifically what they're talking about.
Well, if you can use, that's called microdermabrasion. It's the same thing people do on their face. I would think it would be safe on those parts.
Right. So it says here that GDI engines are designed to improve fuel economy by injecting fuel directly into the combustion chamber, but this configuration can cause the intake valves to get dirtier with carbon deposits over time, and those deposits can then cause things like hesitation, poor drivability, and even cause your check engine light to go on. It says you can't just change an intake manifold to one with port injectors without changing the ECM control modules, and so that's what some manufacturers ended up doing, but older GDI engines still have this buildup problem, and walnut blasting is one way to treat it. However, from what I'm reading, it's not cheap. Like getting walnut blasting done for your intake and your valves is about $1,000 worth of work.
Yeah.
But media blasting being what it is, they do use, as Ben said, walnut blasting for a number of different applications, not just GDI engines.
Oh yeah, and there are a great plethora of different media you can use depending on how aggressive you want to be on the surface you're working on. Like baking soda is pretty popular for low wear blasting on antique car parts and things. There's also even carbon dioxide blasting now.
Wow.
Hmm. Huh.
See, way back when my parents owned a business that was abrasive supply, and they would even have, what did they call it? I think they just called it shot.
Oh, yeah.
And it was different size metal beads.
Yes.
For air blasting or for, blasting inside of a cabinet. There were glass beads. There were all kinds of different things like that. Glad to hear we have kinder, gentler things now.
Oh, yeah.
So, Ben.
Yeah.
I've got more questions for you related to, or for all of us, related to car maintenance, but I understand that you have our grand trivia auto question for the day.
I do. Okay, so regular listeners know that Mickey and I have talked about our Mazdas quite a bit. Question is, Mazda, or the Mazda Motor Company of Japan, was not the first company to market a product under the Mazda name. What was the company, or no, more specifically, what was the product? Was it cookware, light bulbs, tea bags, or deodorant?
Huh, so one of those things was made under the Mazda name before they made cars, is that what you're saying?
Under the name, but not by the same company.
But not by the same company.
Huh. Right.
What are those choices again, Ben?
Cookware, light bulbs, tea bags, or deodorant.
Interesting. Okay. All right, we'll come back to that for a second. We do have a couple of listener questions, one of them directed directly towards Becca. Our friend Tim Rogers, good friend and supporter of the show, he says his question for Becca is, with Ford Mustang's Mach-E slated to debut in 2021, do you think that all future Fords with a roofline lower than Becca's head will be called some variant of a Mustang?
I heard that little choking sound.
Oh, my.
I think that's an excellent question. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Tim.
Okay, so wait a minute. Repeat that a little bit because I obviously was so busy choking over the E version that my brain kind of had a stroke over the rest of it.
Right. So, I think that's the point of the question. I would be surprised to learn that Tim is actually looking for an answer here.
He just wants to hear me have another stroke.
He just wants to hear you. Yeah, exactly. In case it helps develop a better... anyway, here's the question. With Ford Mustang's Mach-E slated to debut in 2021...
We should stop saying that part.
He says, do you think that all future Fords with a roof line lower than her head will be called some variant of a Mustang?
Well, the Mach-E, I'm assuming that the roof line is higher than my head. Because I was trying to explain it to my kids as being kind of like that Edge that I had way back, which was taller than me. I'm 5'6", just right. So, for the record there. So,
well, Tim is like, I think Tim is with the rest of us, actually. I would venture a guess to say that he's sort of shocked that Ford picked that name for that product.
Right. And Ford needs some heavy karma. But I don't know, because remember, they're trying to get rid of all sedans, whatever, except for Mustang, and then everything else was going to be some sort of SUV truck variant,
right?
Which I think would say, yes, anything shorter than me would probably be just the Mustang. But then they raised it up to be an Edge too. Right. You should have just made that the Edge. What the hell is Ford thinking? Sorry, what the heck is what the bleepity bleep is going on up there?
Too funny. So thank you, Tim, for the question. We have another question/comment here from Tim that we'll do in a second, but I wanted to ask a few questions to the table first. And I think these are also listener questions from the past that we simply did not get to. I didn't label them the way I normally do, so they don't have names attached to them. So whoever sent in these questions, please let us know. Thank you. These are excellent questions. We need more of these from our listeners. The questions are, how do I know if I need a rotation or a balance, a wheel rotation or a balance?
I so wish somebody had phrased that as, how do I know if I'm unbalanced?
Yeah, well,
because my husband gets in one of my vehicles and says, pull into this side. It doesn't feel right. Something is wrong here.
Right, exactly.
And then takes my vehicle over and does an alignment.
Right, right. And that's the second question. How do I know if I need an alignment versus a rotation or a balance? And so I think the answer is, first of all, a balance problem is a vibration or a pulsing that happens at a high speed and not at like 25 or 35 miles an hour.
With a caveat, but go
right.
ahead.
And a rotation, I don't know that there's a sign of needing a rotation unless you're seeing uneven wear on your tires. And that may also be a sign of a bad alignment. The difference then being is that an alignment will actually pull the car in one direction.
Well, rotation, it's just unevenness between the front and the rear.
Right. That's it. That's
well, unless there's other problems with the car, but again, it's going to show up in your tires, or it's not, and then it's going to be somewhere else. So, yes.
Ben's primarily right. If everything else is going right with the car, then the two front tires are going to wear faster than the rear two tires.
Right.
Right.
And there are different schools of thought as far as, you know, when to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, some cars have the schedule, and they just, you know, you get the reminder, or the lights yeah. come on and say, it's time for you to do X, Y, Z. But, you know, I also think it's you know your car, and it's starting to feel...
And that's how it should be. Exactly. Yes. You should know your car, but there's so many people who don't.
Yeah. So my sister sold me her Honda, and it turns out she'd been taking her car to a place that doesn't balance it every single time. They'll rotate it for free, but if you need a balance, that's always an extra charge. And they actually said that most balances are really unnecessary unless you're feeling your car doing something funny like a high-speed pulse. Then you need a balance. Otherwise, don't ever worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the caveat I was thinking of is your brake rotors can also cause vibration sensations, which is what I was thinking, but I didn't want to interrupt your train of thought. So that's something that's not balance or rotation or alignment or anything like that, that your
right.
brakes can cause similar sensations. And if you don't know how to look through the various parts, obviously you take it to someone who can inspect all the parts, and they'll be able to tell from the wear and tear on the wheel or
right.
tires, and look at the rotors and various things and just see how things are wearing, and they'll know from those markers.
But I've never had a brake pulse unless my foot was actually on the pedal.
Well, you've had your wheel shake and pull funny from rotors, haven't you? Because here in the South with our weird, it's hot one minute, it's pouring another minute, and oh look, it's hot again, you know, the hot and then
a
running
rotor,
through a
yeah.
puddle will warp your rotor so yeah. fast.
Oh, I have one. I have one now on the car. A warped rotor on the car right now. And mm-hmm. and I can only ever tell if I'm braking between certain speeds.
As it should be, yeah. If that warped rotor is giving you feedback when you're not using the brakes, then you've got bigger problems, I think.
Well, no. I mean, it depends on the rotor. It depends on the car and everything. There are some cars where the rotor is stabilized when you're putting pressure on it by using the brakes, and then it'll vibrate when you're off. I mean, it's not the general rule, but it can. It also depends on how badly it's warped, how much wear is left on it, blah, blah. I mean, there's always ifs, ands, or buts.
Right.
But it boils down to what Dawn brought up. Know your car.
Yeah.
You yeah. know? And if it's supposed to feel nice and smooth and you start having something, you know, vibrate, take it in, have it get looked at.
Mm-hmm. And right. if it happens suddenly, if it's gradually getting worse, I mean, that will have a lot to do with it as well.
Right.
Alignment suddenly happening because you live in Georgia and you hit a pothole, you know.
Absolutely.
So let's move on with our agenda. I read this morning, as a matter of fact, that SEMA has been canceled this year.
Oh, there's been so much good stuff that's been canceled this year.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, I'm sad. On the other hand, I'm relieved. You know, because there's another gigantic bike show that happens up in the Dakotas somewhere that people are sort of rebelliously going to.
Oh, Sturgis.
I wasn't going to name names, but yes, absolutely. And
called out SEMA, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did. I called out SEMA. Let's call out Sturgis. And so I'm like, are you kidding me? How many people are expected to stand on Sturgis with their bikes and go home with coronavirus? It just kills me that. Well, I mean, I don't want to turn this into a political discussion, but I do want to keep this into a common sense discussion. You know, if there's something out there in the world that's threatening to kill a bunch of people, maybe it's a good idea to do battle with it instead of inviting it into your lungs.
Okay, but also be sensible. Wear your mask when you can't stay apart. Keep your bike 6 feet apart. Use hand sanitizer. Wash your hands. I mean, common sense would also go a long way in all of this.
The common sense goes out the window when you get too much ethanol involved, and not the kind you stick in your tank either.
Right.
Well, we're talking a bike thing, but yes.
That is true. In fact, that is what we've been saying for years, that drinking, the first thing to go is good judgment, period.
Yep. I will say we took the convertible out for a long ride up into the North Georgia mountains, and you know, we're not bikers, but you put that top down and you just zoom around those mountains. It's almost as good. Winds in your hair, you know.
Yeah.
Stop by and have a picnic at one of the little creeks. It's fabulous.
It would suck, right? I mean, I agree. It sucks that all these cool events are being canceled, but I see something like Sturgis happen and I'm like, okay, can we just not invite any more trouble, please? But anyway, it's happening. So
I hope this caution to the wind.
Yeah, exactly. One of our friends, Jerry, has a Subaru. What did I say it was? I can't remember the name of his make of Subaru, but he's been seeing this blue powder accumulate on the door frame near his wheel wells. And he's been trying to figure out what that is. And I showed us a picture of this online to our listeners. By the time this episode goes live, we will post the picture that Jerry shared with us. There's literally this very light blue film or powder that when you look at it, it looks like he just banged his door against something and that whatever it was shared some color with the door. But he says it's not. He says it's a powder that you can wipe it off with a cloth and it'll come back eventually. It's blue. It's definitely a light blue. And apparently it's not just wiper fluid residue because it happens whether or not he's used his wiper fluid for that.
And it's only on one side, correct?
No, it's not only on one side.
Oh, it's and on
I don't
both
think
sides.
I've ever seen wiper fluid that so low. Blue that it would show up on a dark colored car.
Right, or that low.
Just, right. Yeah.
It's very low on that vehicle. It also looks like it's more intense at the seam and then it kind of looks like the wind has made it fan out, which also made me wonder, is there something rubbing and it's coming off as a powder and doing that while he's driving?
See, a lot of this, I don't think you said a lot of this we discussed offline just amongst ourselves too, trying to figure things out. I've maintained it's got to do something with the paint of the car, something in the process, I don't know, I'm almost at a loss here. I think in itself it has something to do with the paint.
So to our friends and listeners, we have a mystery on our hands here. We can't figure out if this blue residue is from battery runoff. It's does not seem to be correlated with antifreeze boil over or anything like that. In fact, I think it's the wrong color for his antifreeze. But we can't figure out what's causing this blue stuff to gather on the seams of my friend Jerry's car. So check out our Facebook page. And if we can, you know, do it simultaneously, we may even post it to the Thing About Cars website to identify what this stuff is accumulating on his doors, and just solve the mystery.
Yeah.
And Ben, from a chemical standpoint, do you think it may be oxidizing?
No, it
the
looks
paint?
Like the color is so consistent, it looks like something that definitely has some sort of pigmentation to it.
My first thought was a copper compound of some sort. You know, copper turns blue.
Maybe.
That's why I was wondering, yeah.
Forgive me if I missed this, but did he say how often it shows up?
He did not.
Copper turns more of a greenish.
Yeah. He says it sounds almost kind of random.
It looks, from the pictures that I have seen, the color looks almost like that of the chalk from a pool cue chalk.
Exactly.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But copper can be green or blue depending on the compound. In fact, if you look at copper sulfate, it is this color.
Yeah.
That's why I'm wondering if something is rubbing on some kind of,
So we do have this mystery. So our listeners, please help us out. Take a look at the picture.
Well,
pose your questions for Jerry. Let's see if we can solve. He says recently that what he's done is that he's the only thing he's done differently in this much time is that he's gone camping. And on his daily commute, he's now driving by a construction zone. And those are the only two variables that are any different.
So here's what I would have him do. Next time it happens, have him wipe it off and put a piece of masking tape, like so that it doesn't mess up the paint. Something that's like, you know, will come off easily, and see if he can collect it.
Well, I have another question-ish, without giving anything away on podcast, obviously. How far away does this car live?
It's the northern end of Atlanta. I think it's up in Sandy Springs somewhere.
Okay, so if I were to be curious enough to want to put my hands on whatever this is to actually see better than photos, or any one of us actually, we could do that. I mean,
yeah,
obviously with the owner's consent, we're not going to just go find some random car. I don't mean, talking to Jerry, obviously.
Right. But what Jerry is saying is that it's not happening to any of the other cars in his household. So
because it's probably a different car. Are all the cars the same make and model with the same paint job?
No.
Okay. Well, that was, yeah.
Well, I bring up the car thing because other cars would at least be driving on some of the same streets.
Eliminating the sources. Right.
Right. So anyway, mystery. So again, hope our listeners can pull this in the right direction. We'll post that online when this episode goes live. We have another question for the gang, not just for Becca, but Tim has this other question/comment. He says, if you look what FCA has done, FCA, of course, meaning Fiat Chrysler America. If you look what FCA has done, the entire Dodge truck line is no longer a Dodge, but is now called a Ram X, right? Like a Ram exit, whatever, XYZ. It's like those two manufacturers are trying to capitalize on their most successful brand names and separate from the previous stuff, offering the previous more boring offerings, he says. What do you guys think? I mean, we've talked about Dodge and Chrysler making some weird decisions like this in recent history.
I think a lot of manufacturers are kind of doing that. What were you going to say?
Yeah, it's all about making money. I mean, the Ram brand has made, you know, Chrysler more money than any of the others right now. I think Jeep is number two in their profit scale. So yeah, they're running with what brings in the bucks.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess that's right.
And I have to throw in the Mustang issue. Is that their intention? Are they separating out their most profitable long term, one of the most, I should say, into like its own thing that could survive on its own if situation? And I was going to bring up Jeep as well. Ben beat me to it. So I think a lot of people are starting to do that, separate out the more successful brands to be able to be on their own if need be, or expand them at least.
Yeah.
I think brands are also looking at what the long-term impact will be, you know, because I think different generations, like, you know, we are car lovers and we are car aficionados, or we are car, you know, just the thing about them is that we just really want to be with them. And some people, it's just a tool. It's, you know, it's not as, they don't fall in love with it as much. So I think that a lot of this is marketing.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it clearly is marketing. But I wonder if Tim is hinting at the idea that it's going to spin off into something separate from the others. And Tim, if that's the case, tell us, because that would be an interesting supposition.
Well, it's something that I have seen as a possibility there and elsewhere as well. So I completely understand his train of thought with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting stuff. You guys got anything else for the agenda before we wrap the episode today?
Not really.
I guess not. So if to our listeners, please send us your questions and your comments. Your ideas fuel the show and spurring more conversation for the gang. And we really appreciate it when you let us know what's on your mind, even if it has nothing to do with cars, I would say. But you know, just drop us a line. Let us know how you're doing. We know these are weird and crazy days, and it makes sense to stay in touch with each other. So please tell us how you are doing at the very least. Ben, what was our, we need to wrap up trivia for the day.
Yes, we do. So the
Grand Trivia Auto.
Yeah, the question was, what's the product that was marketed under the Mazda name before cars were? And the choices were cookware, light bulbs, tea bags, or deodorant.
Well, I'm going to jump in and say my gut says cookware.
Okay.
Well, then I'll jump in and say I don't care what the answer is. I'm saying tea bags because I was trying so hard not to laugh my butt off at them.
Okay. What do you think, Mickey?
Oh, man. Cookware, tea bags. What was the other one, Ben?
Light bulbs and deodorant.
I'm thinking it probably wasn't deodorant. There's a small chance it could have been light bulbs.
I think
I think tea bags are on the lower probability. I don't even know why.
Well, yeah, that's what he said. But
so my brain / gut feeling says go with either cookware or light bulbs. And oh man, so just for variety's sake, I'm going to go with light bulbs.
Light bulbs is correct.
No way!
Ding ding ding!
Yay!
And that was a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
Da-da-da.
And the company that did this was none other than General Electric. They had a Mazda line of incandescent lights that was used in the United States from 1909 until 1945.
Wow.
And beyond that, in some other markets around the world. And now the General Electric and the Toyo Kogyo Motor Company that became Mazda Motor Corporation took the name from the same source. The name comes from Ahura Mazda, who was the main god of Zoroastrianism, and whose name basically translates to Lord of Wisdom or Lord of Enlightenment.
Interesting.
But the car company also sort of used it for a second reason, because it sounds a lot like Mazda, which was the founder's name.
Uh-huh.
And they first used the Mazda name in 1931 on what is often referred to as an auto rickshaw. Basically, it was picture a motorcycle with two rear wheels and a little cargo box between those rear wheels. Mm-hmm. It was called the Mazda Go.
I have so many jokes from all of this. I don't even know where to start.
Clever. Well,
apparently, there is something called Mazda cookware on the market today.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
That's what rang a bell with me. But, you know, I didn't know if it had gone out completely. So that's fascinating, yeah. Ben. Thank you.
And BMW I will be did making Mazda tea bags if anybody's interested in picking them.
Well, what will they contain?
As a funny aside to the cookware, BMW did actually manufacture cookware after World War II. It was the first product that they could implement on how little was left of their factories after all the bombing.
Right.
Wow.
But that's a discussion for another day.
That's a discussion for another day.
Sure.
Thank you, Ben. That was a very good trivia question. And to our listeners as well, please send us your trivia questions. If we use them on the show, we're definitely going to have to give you a shout. And we love it when we get good questions from our listeners. So thanks as always for joining us for this episode of The Thing About Cars. We hope you guys are doing great out there. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Please stay in touch. And we'll look forward to seeing you with another episode in about a week. Stay safe.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Deep
driving.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.